Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 32, Hebrews 11, 32. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's have a little prayer. Father, we are truly grateful to you for all blessings. We consider it a blessing to be here today. We know that you have great promises and that you have such wonderful plan for this earth and for us if we become part of it. So we do pray that we might be in your family and part of your plans for the future. Bless those who are not here today that are needy, those who may be downhearted or discouraged, those who may be ill or afflicted. And we do pray that you would guide us in this service and bless us through it in his name. Amen. Today I want to talk about faith for our times. And I guess the place to start with that is to talk about our times. Friends from Edgefield, we were lunching together yesterday, and we got talking about this. And several of us were in public work of one kind or another, and we're talking about the changes that we had seen in school and church and in our country. And we just realized that our times are really very momentous. They're difficult. They're challenging. They may be actually even dangerous. But the thing is, to talk about our faith for these times, we need to realize what our times are like. And one of the things that we've talked about many times, and which is mentioned in the Bible several times, is that as it was in the days of Noah, it would be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Well, when you get digging into the days of Noah, what do? You go back to Genesis, the sixth chapter, and you start reading about it. And the thing that you find, a word that sticks out more than any other, is the word violence. It was a very violent time. And in fact, in the genealogies of Cain, it talks about them inventing weapons and killing people, all the different things that they were doing. So it was a very troublous time. As we have talked many times about the so-called giants, men of violence, those who fall on others, in other words, in a violent manner, robbers and tyrants and lawless and so forth. It was those who use brute force. And this was the reason that God in the verse 5 said he saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and everything, Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and he repented him. He had made man on the earth, and it grieved him, and he decided he was going to destroy man from the earth. But of course, we know that there was a man, Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives, whom he chose to be the beginning of a new world. But so our days are like the days of Noah as far as violence. I tell you, I've gotten any more that I hate to listen to the news, because it's just violence, 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 over senseless violence. People going to schools and shooting people, people going to the workplace shooting people, killing wives and children. And I mean, it's just sickening. It's almost like the evening news is the obscene hour. It's not the raunchy programming. It's just listening to the news. And it is so sad. And it just seems that people place no value on human life at all. And I think a lot of that comes from violent TV that has been on for so many years, where people are shot and stabbed and killed in many ways. And so people say, well, that's not so bad. It may seem shocking at first, but it's not so bad. So our days are like the days of Noah, as being days of violence. And this really characterizes our age. And then it says, also in the same text, as it was in the days of Lot. And so when you go back to Genesis, to the 19th chapter, and dig into the story of Lot, you find out that it was homosexuality that was the great problem there. And he rained fire and brimstone on the cities of plain to destroy them because of their wickedness. And I collect it when I can, but I collect legal actions and other things, votes and so forth, that are talking about what's going on. And for this very week, there's another state legalizing so-called same-sex marriage. And our state, and there are a lot of states, especially in the Bible Belt, they're not going to do that. But if somebody is legally married in Maine, and they move down here, or we have to say, well, I guess they're still legally married. Anyway, it's very bad, and it's a sign of the times. We are living in the days of a homosexual revolution. And I am sad to say that the antique business seems to attract a good many of them. Economic distress. I can't say that James, go to ye rich men, weep and howl, is referring directly to what we're seeing today. But and as far as our times are concerned, this is something that is very troubling. And I really think that even what's still going on today, after all the bailouts and all the things that are supposed to be done, I still think that greed is the basic problem with the whole thing. I don't know him personally, but I bank with Carolina First. They gave Mac Whittle, their CEO, $18 million as a retirement package. The very next week, they filed to be part of the bailout. Now you tell me what kind of sense that makes. There's no man worth $18 million. As a retirement package. And it's everywhere. I mean, even the big companies that the government is helping, they turn around and jet people around and have big parties and do all kinds of stuff, and it's still the same old garbage. In the school systems in our state, they're cutting back. Well, where are they cutting back? They're cutting back on the Indians. They're not cutting back on the chiefs. The chiefs are still there in solid control with their big salaries, but they're cutting back on the Indians, the ones that are really working. I had a complaint just this week. A man that lives in Anderson County says, why does Anderson County need 5 school districts? That means you've got 5 off district offices. That means you've got five staffs, you've got five administrators. That makes sense. No bigger than Anderson County is, it all could be one. The automobile companies, same thing. I decided a long time ago when I was aware that I was making about $12,000 a year at the most, that I, a $12,000 a year man, can't afford to buy a car made by $65,000 a year people. You can't afford it. And it's just, they get paid whether they work or not. And that's what has put the car companies in such terrible shape, because they have such strong union contracts that the workers get paid full pay whether they're working or not. There are many other things I could talk about. We're talking about our times, and really they are very troublous. I've lived a long time, and I remember the Great Depression, many other problems and so forth, but our times are just some of the same things over again, but more intense and just more troubling and affecting more people than ever before. And then, to me, something that we've not had before in such abundance is the Muslim threat. I don't care what anybody says. We may sound like we're profiling and all that, but still, if you hear about a bombing or anything bad in this world today, anywhere in this world today, if you read long enough, it's Muslims. They don't mind blowing up a mosque. They don't mind hitting a police station or a barrack of soldiers, anything, and the innocent. And it goes along, of course, with this violence, but it's also religious, and it's, I learned through the years, in fact, in World War II, one of our biggest problems was we were fighting the Japanese, whose religion was, if you die as a kamikaze pilot, you automatically in glory. Well, that's the same thing with the Muslims. If you die for the faith in Islam, you're automatically in paradise. And that's hard to fight. If you've got a man that is just guarding his home or his family, that's one thing. But if somebody where his fight is his religion, that's very difficult to counteract. What we're trying to do, of course, is to to talk about our times and then to talk about our faith for these times. Of course, all of us go back to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the faith is the evidence of things hoped for. I'm going to read it instead of trying to quote it badly. That is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a firmly relying confidence in God and His Word that is not based on sight. In fact, a lot of people would disagree with us in talking about these being the times of the end, or the fact that God would end this age to bring in the new age and the kingdom of God. But He's going to, and that is based on our faith. In fact, he went on in that chapter. The King James indicates that the earth was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But when you realize that the word world is the word age or ages, it has a different meaning. In fact, the Diglot says that the ages have been so thoroughly adjusted by God's command that we can have faith. And in other words, yes, things we see are made out of nothing. That's what creation is. But also that God has ordained that there be ages. And we're definitely in the age of man. And the age to come will be the kingdom of God, when God is in control and establishes his kingdom upon this earth, and righteous rule and righteous government and blessings. This is something that we understand by the word of God, and we have faith in it. In fact, I have said many times, in fact, the book of Romans brings out the fact that hope is what keeps all of us going. We all have problems that we'd like to surmount, but we have hope that they will get better, and that keeps us going. But then when you go on into the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you run across Abel. He was killed by his brother. Jealous rage. Abel, by faith, offered a blood sacrifice to God that God had ordained. Cain offered turnips. I didn't say they're turnips, but I'm just saying they're turnips. Anyway, there's no blood in a turnip. That's always the old saying, you can't get blood out of a turnip. But anyway, Cain did not obey God's command because he did not act by faith, but Abel did. So we have the Abels among us who sacrifice life and property and service out of faith. You have Enoch, who walked with God. In other words, we're talking, there are times of trouble too. In fact, when you go over to the book of Jude, there is a book of Enoch that it's, we don't know whether it's genuine or not, but anyway, in the book of Jude, it talks about Enoch actually, the seventh from Adam, actually prophesying. But he talked about the bad times. Seventh from Adam prophesied of these. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, wandering stars. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against God. This is Jude 14 and 15. But you see that his times were troubled too. The word ungodly is used there 1, 2, 3, 4 times in one verse. Could be our times he's talking about. But through faith, he walked with God. And Noah, as we mentioned, in his times was warned of God and was moved of God to construct the ark for the salvation of his family and the animals. And what he did was a means of condemning the world. We don't really have to condemn the world. We don't have to condemn sin. We don't have to judge sin. We don't have to judge sinners. The Word of God does that. So all we have to do is accept what the Word of God says. So in Galatians, the 5th chapter, if it talks about the works of the flesh, well, we don't judge. We're just reading what it says. And it's indicative of our time just as much as the violence and the other problems were in the days of Noah. Abraham, it mentions next about he obeyed God and went out, not knowing whither he went. He went away from family. He went away from his own native country, Ur of the Chaldees, and sojourned as a stranger on land that God promised him that he never received. Never built a house, never put out a corner marker on his land, never built a fence. In fact, it's hard to believe, but we look at the Bedouins in the Middle East living in hair tents. That's how Abraham lived. And because he recognized that he was a stranger and a pilgrim. But he was an heir, but he didn't receive it at the time, because all this kept him going. In fact, it's not so much in the Bible record, but in Josephus and other places, Abraham was very unpopular with his family because he didn't go along with what they They believed. In fact, it actually says that Terah was an idolater. His father was an idolater. And here Abraham believed in the one true and living God. So he couldn't live with that. And he had to get out. We are demanded of us that we be separate from, even though not physically separate, we have to be mentally and spiritually separate from people of this world. I can talk to anybody, and most all of us here meet and know people that all different kinds of walks of lives and different lifestyles, but we're thrown in with them. You can't shun them. You talk to them and so forth, but we have to try to help them too. I've got a young woman down in Edgefield. I used to call her my begging girl, and she had an alcohol problem, and she'd come by and, "Do you have $2? I've got medicine, meds that I'm supposed to buy." Well, all she was doing, her meds was alcohol. Anyway, she came by this week, and she had her wrist in a brace and a leg in a brace, and she had an abusive man that comes around and beating her up. But I try to help her. And one day, a couple of weeks ago, she was going by, and she was singing. This was so unusual because she's always been so downtrodden and hurt, but I've helped her, and we have to try to help where we can, because we're going down this life together, and if we can't help each other, then we're in pretty sorry shape. Further in Hebrews 11, Moses refused riches, looked to the day of reward, forsook Egypt, where he could have been a king, a pharaoh, and endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's what keeps us going, is enduring. Anything we have is a gift of God, and we know that we are temporary creatures, and so therefore our possession of things are temporary. As I've said so many times, I've got a deed that says I own a house, but if I don't pay my taxes, I don't own it anymore, because they'll sell it on the courthouse steps. So we don't have anything really in that line that's so definite and so sure. As he went on, he said, "I don't have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, but they all had troubles with a capital T. And they endured in all of them." It talks about all the things that happened to them. And we think we have it bad. They received the violence of fire. They were hunted with the sword. It just goes on and talks about the cruel mockings and scourgings and bonds and imprisonment and stoning. And one even sawed in two, which we think might have been Jeremiah, slain with a sword and wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. What about it? They all obtained a good report through faith, even though they did not receive what was promised at the time. God provided a better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. So he's saying that our times are not really different, much different than their times. They had faith, and that work got them through it. What about us? Demanding the same type of faith that they had for us to get through what we're doing here today. I would hate to be without faith or hope. I don't think I would live. Probably take my own life if there was no faith or hope in what we're doing in our church and our Bible and the way we live. But we're in the faith. And having faith does not make us immune from trouble, does not make us immune from illness and disease and from death and from hardship and from persecution. I can't remember where I read it, but it talked about a person shouldn't expect fairness and good treatment in this world any more than a bull wouldn't attack you just because you're a vegetarian. No. So you can't expect it. So we just go on. The thing that changes everything and conditions everything is our response to it. I know people are so glum and so depressed and all. We can't be. We're not brainless optimists who see only good, but we're not pessimists who see only bad. We're realists who see both good and bad. And in the end, we are optimistic because we know that God will make all things right. So our response to what is going on in this age is what changes things, and it's, of course, our faith that changes it. It gives us some hope for something better and helps us to endure with patience the things that happen to us in this life. But it really is what God is demanding of us is faith and living for Him. And in return, He blesses us. He gives us hope, and He gives us comfort, and He gives us assurance, and without which we could not live. So think about it, about our faith for these times. And we'll realize that just as our forefathers in the faith mentioned in Hebrews 11, they'll get us through too. We can endure, we can make it with His help. I thank you for your time.